Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and mercy shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. May we honor you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Happy Memorial Day. I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you here today. If you're a guest with us, please let us know who you are. Fill out one of those cards and place it at the Welcome Center. Let one of us have it. We'd like to get better acquainted with you today. If you have your Bibles, find your place in Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. These days we're talking about because he reigns, because the Lord Jesus Christ reigns in heaven, alive today in heaven, and is coming again. He has made promises to the church on the earth. And so these promises, we're taking our time and looking at to each of these seven churches. They were real churches that existed in the time of John the Apostle, after the Lord had ascended to heaven. And these churches, he speaks these promises, and these promises are also for all of us who are believers today. These churches remind us of the different conditions of churches today. And also today, I'd like to say a word of honor to our veterans and to those of you who served in the military or are serving. May the Lord bless you. And to those families who have been touched by the loss and the death of a family member in the military, we pray for you and we walk with you. Revelation chapter number 2, beginning in verse 12, to the church at Pergamum. To the church at Pergamum, the Lord Jesus says, and to the angel, that is to the preacher of the church in Pergamum, write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our focal truth today is this, that believers in heaven, this is what we'll focus on today. Many things we could read and talk about here. This is my focus. Believers in heaven will be eternally satisfied. What will heaven be like? Here's another promise from the Lord Jesus reigning in heaven for all of us believers on the earth. Believers in heaven will be eternally satisfied. You know, these things we're looking at are the promises of the Lord to the churches. In fact, while you're in Revelation 2, look back. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. To the church at Ephesus, the Lord said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, promise number one, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Promises number two and three that are found to the church at Smyrna. The Lord said, be faithful, verse 10, until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He goes on, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the promises of Jesus and speaks them to our heart. This is the way it works. Now, I want to say something quickly before I get into what we'll talk about today. This is important for you to hear, so please don't disconnect. Stay with me. These promises matter to people who are believers in Jesus Christ. And let me just say this to you. Promises only matter to those who love each other. People who are in love make promises to one another. Promises matter to people who are in love. Promises exist between people who are in love. Now, your wife has made a promise to you, you've made a promise to your husband. I think that's wonderful and sweet for you, but that promise doesn't necessarily have the same meaning for me as it would for you in your relationship with your husband or your wife. You see, promises are given from lovers to lovers. The reality is that self-centered, selfish sinners who do not care about God, who have rebelled against God, don't care about the promises of God. So everything we're talking about here today really is secondary. Or maybe in their minds they have this twisted idea, well, you know, because God is gracious, all these things Jesus is saying, he's going to give to me, it doesn't matter how I live, which is a foolish way to live. The reality is that these promises only matter to people who love Jesus. Are you listening? If you don't love Jesus today, these promises, we're just working through a routine here. Maybe you're curious in some of the ideas about Revelation, you'd like to know more about it. But the reality is, if you do not love him, you don't care about the promises of Jesus. They don't have a lot of purpose, they don't really stick, and they don't matter. But to those of you who are walking in this world of trouble and temptation and difficulty and all the hardships that go along, the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, while the people of God are on the earth, give us a skip in our step, a joy in our walking in the midst of hard times. You see, Jesus' promises matter to those of us who follow him. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the reason why I'm laboring with you for all this time and all these weeks, Lord willing, to look at these promises in detail. We need them as we seek to live for Jesus in this world. I'm also reminded of this, that these promises are talking, now this is important, they're talking about this mysterious thing of what the Lord Jesus is going to do for every believer who enters heaven. This is an unusual thing to think about. And I don't want to belabor this, but I'm trying to expand on this because it makes these promises more valuable. Over in Ephesians, and I'll just read it for the sake of time. In Ephesians chapter 2, there's some very familiar verses to us. God being rich in mercy with which he loved us. This is Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 and following. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. When you got saved, you were united. This is mysterious. You were united spiritually to Jesus Christ. He made us alive with Christ. By grace you're saved. And then the Bible says, Ephesians 2, 6, he raised us up with him and seated us. What did Brother Jeff say? We're singing with the choirs in heaven while we're on the earth. We're seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Listen, this is the verse. This is the verse. Verse 7 of Ephesians 2, so that in all the ages to come, ages is plural. There's not just going to be one age in heaven. It's age upon age upon age upon age, endless time, endless beyond imagination, ages upon ages, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know what you're reading in the book of Revelation in these promises? What he's going to show us for age upon age upon age, endlessly in the glory of heaven when we are there with him. So believers in heaven will be eternally satisfied. So today, we're only going to deal with one part of the promises given to the Pergamum church. Now back in Revelation 2:17, to him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. That's all I want to talk about today. To him who overcomes. You see, only overcomers go to heaven, and only Christians are overcomers, and only Christians who overcome go to heaven. So to those who are overcomers, to Christians when they go to heaven, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, church. I will give. It doesn't say an angel. The Lord Jesus promises, I will give. Some is added in italics. That's not in the original language. It reads in the original language, to him will I will give of the hidden manna. So I have three observations that I want us to deal with for just a few moments together. Number one, because Jesus Christ reigns, he gives believers in heaven eternal food. What? Now don't have a brain freeze. We'll get back to it in just a minute. Eternal food, hidden manna. Because Jesus Christ reigns, he satisfies believers in heaven. Because Jesus Christ reigns, heavenly satisfied believers enjoy heavenly pleasures. Heavenly satisfied believers enjoy heavenly pleasures. So this first thing about this, all of a sudden we're reading the Word of God and we're shocked. We're taken aback by this promise. All of a sudden, manna is brought up again in the Word of God. We've not known about manna except in the Old Testament as God provided heavenly food, heavenly manna. The word actually, manna, mana, in Hebrew means, what is this? Mana, what is this? And so now we have this promise from the Lord Jesus for hidden manna. The word hidden is a word that means concealed, put back, taken care of. This is special manna. This is heavenly manna that the Lord Jesus gives to believers when they come to heaven. You see, manna is food from heaven. It fell out of the sky. There wasn't, as you read the Word of God in the Old Testament, there wasn't like a sack of seed that fell out of heaven. And there were instructions there, and the Lord said to the children of Israel under Moses' direction, just plant these out here in the wilderness and it'll pop up some manna. No, it just keeps falling from the sky. Ready to eat. Prepared. You got to do it according to the instructions given. Manna from heaven was God's gift of food and a promise of his relationship with Israel. I will take care of you in the wilderness. Manna from heaven was placed in the Ark of the Covenant. Always to be reminder in that chest as it was carried with the children of Israel and then placed in the Holy of Holies. A reminder, I am always with you. I am taking care of you. It is a pledge. The manna was a pledge of God's relationship and presence and promise to take care and provide for them. Psalm 105 says he satisfied them, talking about Israel in the wilderness, he satisfied them with the bread of heaven. This is heavenly bread. This is a miraculous thing falling out of the sky, collected as it was to be collected in a proper way. The manna from heaven was the food of angels. Psalm 78:25 says, and man did eat the bread of angels. Now we come to this great promise of those who overcome. And when you enter heaven, the Lord Jesus, not an angel, not someone designated, he says, I will give of the hidden manna. Heavenly manna is only experienced in heaven. Heavenly manna is unknown on the earth. Heavenly manna is the gift of eternal life and a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, believers have known about this matter of eating. The Lord Jesus was accused of being a glutton. He was always associated with people, sinners and saints, who were eating. I think of this precious and wonderful phrase, I will give him hidden manna. What else did the Lord do? Well, one day 5,000 people, 4,000 on another occasion, they had nothing to eat, and he brought the bread, he divided what he had, and notice, he gave it to them. And the Word of God says they were satisfied. The Lord Jesus at the supper, he gave them the bread, he gave them the drink, he gave it to them as they celebrated together, and the Lord promised that when they would get to heaven, there would be a glorious supper, there would be eating together, there would be fellowship together, and he would enjoy that time with them in the kingdom of God, the promise of eating. When the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared one time, he showed them his hands and his feet, and then he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" And he ate broiled fish in their presence, right with them. Before the Lord Jesus went to heaven, he went out and he was talking to two men walking down the road who were all discouraged because they thought, well, Jesus was the one, but now he's dead. And what did he do? He went to their house and he sat down and he broke the bread and gave it to them. And immediately they knew it was the Lord Jesus and he vanished out of their sight. And if that wasn't enough eating, the Lord Jesus on one more occasion is standing right there on the favorite place. You know, fishermen have favorite places where they fish. And there were those disciples out fishing in their favorite place, and there's a fire, and someone asked from the shore, "Have you caught anything?" They got closer, and the Lord Jesus had already cooked them some food, and they sat down and ate together. When you go to heaven, the Lord Jesus says, "Here, let's sit down in relationship together." It is the eating of the hidden manna of relationship to God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ reigns and he gives us this hidden manna, what happens? It brings an amazing satisfaction eternally to our life. Here's what the Lord said in John 6. He talked a lot about the bread and manna and all the things with the Jews. He said, "I am the living bread that comes from heaven." Remember, manna came from heaven. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the living bread that's come from heaven. And if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever." I love the phrase that was written. Mark said it. Matthew said it, Luke said it about the feeding of the 5,000. They all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. You see, my dear friends, what happens when we come to know the Lord Jesus on the earth, we gain a different kind of satisfaction on the inside. That's why we sing the old hymn, "I am satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus." You see, all the other things of this world change. When you come to know the Lord Jesus, it reorients your desires and your values and the things you want to do. Things that you used to do don't matter as much. I ask you today, what is it that gives you satisfaction? And let me ask you this following that, why is it that your satisfaction doesn't last? Well, you see, it's because your satisfaction, your focus upon satisfying yourself is from the wrong source. My dear friends, here's the reality. Those who are without Jesus Christ, those who are living in sin, or those who are believers who've gone back to allowing their lust to control and dominate them are living a life of dissatisfaction. Sin produces fleshly lusts and desires, and we want more and we want more, and it seeks to consume us. Our flesh will drive us to consume, and as we consume, we think that's enough, but we still have dissatisfaction. It's never enough money. It's never a big enough house. It's never the right car. It's never the right relationship. It's never the right job. It's never happiness within myself. Dissatisfaction is bred by sin and selfishness and lusts and cravings. And I promise you this, unless you crucify your flesh and say no to sin every day, your lusts and flesh and your cravings demand fulfillment. But there's never any satisfaction in it. On and on, just like the Lord says about this thing of being dissatisfied, the Word of God says it over and over, the eyes of a man are never satisfied, Proverbs 27:20. You might think, okay, I finally made it. I'm good. And then the next day, well, what about that? It's the nature of flesh. It's the nature of earthly living. It's never enough. How much is enough? Flesh answers, it's never enough. Sinful man lives with unsatisfied hunger and thirst. But the Lord said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be satisfied. When you come to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it begins, you begin an experience. Look, I'm talking about real experience here. I'm not talking about head knowledge and walking around with a head full of Bible truths in your head. I'm talking about the truths of God should change and affect your emotions and your desires and what you feel and the pleasures you have from it. There is an entire experience of spiritual satisfaction that comes only when the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you and you experience the down payment, just a little taste, just a little bit of what the glory of heaven will be all about. And when we go to heaven, the Lord says, here, Mike, here is some hidden manna. Let's have fellowship. Let's have relationship together. It's all in consuming my experience of being with the Lord Jesus, the focus of heaven for me. If I said it last week talking about hell, you'll miss the second death. A lot of people don't want, the majority of people in the world aren't interested in going to heaven because they don't care about Jesus. You see, grace isn't like a pass card. It's not like a get-in free card. Well, you know, I've lived like the devil. I've been corrupt. I've been a thief. I've been a liar. I'm coveting. I'm filled with sexual immorality and thoughts of lust and all the rest. I'm dominated by sin. Hey, but everybody's going to go to heaven anyway. It's just like, it's the grace of God. No, the reality is grace is this. Whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, which includes repenting of your sin, will be saved. That's the grace of God. And the majority of us don't remember, don't think about this whole matter of what believers versus unbelievers is all about. You see, if you love Jesus, you care about the promises of God. If you love Jesus, you want to be like the Lord Jesus. If you love the Lord Jesus and you believe in Him, you follow Him, you seek to change your lifestyle to be like Him. And the reality is the majority of people in the world could care less about that. That's why hell's not the place. Hell's the place for them and not heaven. They don't want to go be with Jesus because they don't care nor love Him. But Peter said to believers, though you have not seen Him, that's all of us here. You've never seen the Lord Jesus with your physical eyes. Though you have not seen Him, yet you love Him with joy inexpressible, full of glory. Now let's talk for just a moment about a very strange topic. Let's talk about pleasure in heaven. Let's talk about what happens. You see, when you're satisfied, that's a pleasurable thing. Now, for some of you at this holiday, if you eat too many hot dogs, your satisfaction won't be pleasurable. You'll just have a big fat belly. So watch what you eat. Be careful. One piece of pie is probably enough. Half it with your friends and your family. But you see, satisfaction is an experience of pleasure. Now look, the world's all about pleasure. That's the whole deal. It's all about pleasure. You see, God made us. He made us with the capacity to be satisfied, but He also made us with the capacity to have pleasure. To experience pleasure. I'm talking about real feelings, real emotions. We know what it's like to have pain, but we also know just a little bit, though it's twisted and perverted by sin, we know what it's like to experience pleasure. What I'm saying to you is this, when you read these promises that the Lord Jesus is giving us, in these wonderful promises to these churches that also belong to us, He's speaking of eternal pleasure that comes because you have been satisfied eternally in heaven. So I ask you to listen to these words. I won't ask you to turn there. You can mark it unless you're really fast with your fingers. Psalm 16:11. It's a wonderful, precious word from the Old Testament talking about facing death the right way and preparing to live your life to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does the psalmist say? Listen, you make known to me the path of life. This is the prayer of David. God, you make known to me the path of life. And here it is now. Here it is. Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. I'm going to say it again. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever. My dear friends, do you not understand that heaven is the place of eternal joy and pleasure? It is the joy of God. It is the joy of God over His people, and it is the joy of God's people over the Lord Jesus and over God in His reign and His rule. I'm speaking to you about something that we don't quite understand. This is how you set your mind on heaven. These are the things you think about when you think about heaven. You think about these promises. The Lord Jesus says, you're going to be granted to eat of the tree of life that's in the paradise of God. When the new heaven, the new earth comes, you're in. You're granted it. The promise of God comes. What pleasure comes in knowing that we will miss hell. We will miss the second death, the lake of fire. What a blessed promise that we have, that we can experience the pleasure of fellowship with the Lord Jesus, just like eating this heavenly hidden manna. So I have for you just a few qualities about the pleasures that you will enjoy forever. Let me just give them to you quickly as we close. Maybe this will be something you can think about this day. When we think about the pleasures in your right hand, there are pleasures forever. You see, all of this joy, all of these pleasures are because we're in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will never again be separated from the one we have loved greatly. If you love me, the Lord said, you keep my commandments. Listen, that means you do whatever the Lord says for you to do, regardless of what it takes or where it sends you. Loving Jesus is being obedient without any boundaries, without any limitations, or without any fine print on your part or mine. The Lord Jesus said, take up your cross, die daily, and follow me. He told us what to do over and over in various places. The pleasures that we enjoy in heaven are because we're satisfied in heaven. We finally sit down, and what's the first one? Rest. Some of you are going to take advantage of Memorial Day sales, and you're going to go buy a new bed. Well, that'll make me rest better. Will it? We still got all of this stuff spinning all around. You see, the world lives chasing the wind. And we Christians get caught up in the run, get caught up in the race. But there is promised to the people of God, the book of Hebrews tells us and writes, a rest for the people of God. That doesn't mean eternal sleep. That doesn't mean laying down all the time. That means rest of mind. That means peace in our mind. That's another pleasure. Peace and rest go together. It is no more agony and no more worry and mental pain and struggles and torture. Revelation 14, 13, you have these breakouts of praise all through the book of Revelation. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Listen, now are you listening? Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying here. These are the actual words recorded of the Holy Spirit as they were spoken in heaven, and John wrote them down. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. That's what it is. Rest. The pleasure of eternal rest, the pleasure of eternal peace. No more internal wars, no more fighting, no more fears within the mind, no more battles and warfare, no more eternal love with the Lord Jesus, a growing, deepening relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we cannot even imagine or describe. The pleasures of rest, the pleasures of eternal peace, the pleasures of an eternal growing love relationship with the Lord, and eternal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with all of His people. Here's what the Lord said. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink new with you in my Father's kingdom. Oh, the celebration that will take place in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who have part in the marriage supper of the Lamb. When the glorious church of the Lord Jesus is joined to the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, it is described as a marriage supper. How can we understand that which is indescribable? How can we understand that which is beyond our imagination? These promises point us to eternal pleasures that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Eternal rest, eternal peace, eternal love relationship and fellowship with the Lord and all of His saints. But what about eternal delight? Eternal delight in discovering and discovering and discovering over and over for ages the vastness and the hidden blessings and glory and majesty of God in all of His glory given to believers. And what about eternal amazement in heaven? Eternal delight that turns to eternal amazement of the glorious majesty and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, you have glimpses of it in Revelation 4. All of a sudden, John's caught up to heaven, and he sees there at the throne flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder, and seven lamps burning before the throne. And then a description of the colors of heaven and the sounds of heaven. Believers will see the unbelievable sights of heaven. They will hear the unbelievable sounds of heaven. We will experience things and see things that we cannot understand. Hebrews tells us you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You see it. It's a place. And the myriads of angels, millions upon millions of angels of God, you will see the general assembly and be a part of it, and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. You will see the judge of all, and you will see the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And you will see the Lord Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and you will hear the sprinkled blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, blood that is better than the blood of Abel. Oh, what it must be to see and hear and experience the eternal pleasures of heaven. Can you find anything on this world? Can you find anything or anybody in this world that can match those kinds of glorious things? Those are the promises given to us who are believers in Jesus Christ. That's why we walk through the fire. That's why we go through the trouble. That's why we live and endure the pains, because heaven is our home. Eternal, perfect life from age to age to age to age. And when the Lord Jesus finishes with the rest of what must be done in His return after He reigns on the earth, there comes a new heaven and a new earth. What will it be? What will it be? That's what Christians think about. That's what believers focus on. All that we're trying to do here is just maintenance. All that we're trying to do here, listen, is try to get as many people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as we can so they miss hell. That's the job, so that we grow as disciples and we learn to love Jesus all of the days of our life. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered into the heart of men. That's what I'm describing. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. The place is not just like He got a hammer and fixed you up like a part in a mansion. It's all of this. It's the preparation for eternal rest and peace and fellowship and love with God's people and with the Lord Jesus and heavenly delight, heavenly eternal amazement that never ends. What do we remember today, my friends, as we go? A life of faith in Jesus Christ on earth leads to an eternal life of satisfaction. That's what you have to look forward to. And for us all who are now here as believers, we've gotten a little taste of it. You see, when we got saved, when we trusted Jesus, when we were born again, things started to change in what we put all of our marbles on. What we started, we thought this was the path. But we found out no matter how hard we tried going down this life without Jesus, we were miserable. We never could be satisfied. We never could seem to get ourselves in any, there was no joy. There was no pleasure. We tried to find pleasure, but we'd do it and we were miserable when we had committed what we had done in order to try to find it. But now we've come to know the Lord Jesus, and because we have believed in Him, we've experienced already satisfaction. Now we have the Holy Spirit giving us these experiences, these emotions that begin to teach us how to turn away from sin and love the things of God and walk away from the things of this world. You see, that's what's going on now on this earth. We're preparing for heavenly, eternal, permanent satisfaction. I can just tell you this today. If you're a dissatisfied Christian, it's because you've changed your focus in your life. I've been one of those miserable Christians, and boy, I've been around a lot of miserable Christians. Dissatisfied, belly aching, griping about everything. You do know people get sick of listening to you gripe. You do know that, don't you? There was somebody in our family that griped so much that even the dog used to get up and leave the room when they'd come in and start their griping. I'm not making that up. It's a true story. You see, heavenly satisfaction is the gift of Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. You take of Him, you believe in the Lord Jesus, and all of a sudden, everything changes. Your mind changes. Your desires change. All of a sudden, all of those plans you have don't even matter anymore. Heavenly spiritual pleasures are endless, and I promise you this. These are the promises of the Lord Jesus. This is a description just for us in humans to understand. The bliss and pleasure, eternal, endless pleasure that we will experience in heaven for all ages upon ages, endlessly. I end with these words from Psalm 17. Listen to this. I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. That's the promise right there. That's what we're looking for. In all the darkness around us, in all the troubles and days we have, we walk according to the promises of God. We walk according to the promises of Jesus. And if God is for us, who can be against us? To the praise of the glory of His grace, heaven is our home, my brothers and sisters. Keep looking up. Get your eyes up. Watch for Jesus to return. Pray for Him to return. And be ready for a life, an endless life of satisfaction and pleasure in heaven with the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.